Does it ever get any easier before you come back to Minnesota?
No. I thought it would, like with this being a second year. No. That's why I told T, I hope I don't go in here and get overwhelmed, you know. I said, yesterday I did a lot of interviews and I got right to the end and then I started crying. I was like, I said, this is crazy. I thought I was over it, but you can't be over 30 years. You can't be over it, you know what I mean? So most people don't stay on a job 30 years, you know what I'm saying? And to live a lifetime with an iconic artist is major, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Okay, so I think that we all know a little bit of the background about how long you've been with Friends. But just tell me, how did you end up not only working with him, but working with him for as long as you did? Because that must be a record as far as Prince's in a circle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nearly 30 years. So.
Absolutely, yeah. I had been dating his bodyguard, and the bodyguard introduced me to the hairstylist. I was fresh out of high school. I told my mom, I said, I'm going to take a year off. You know, I was a straight A student. I was going to be a lawyer or a doctor. You know, I was waiting to choose. And I said, I'm going to take a year off. I said, and just chill out. And she said, okay. So about the second month, she said, I'm going to need you to get a job, go to school, or I'm going to need you to get the hell out of my house. I said, wait a minute. She said, ain't but one queen live here. And I said, oh, my God. So I went stumping up the street, walked into Pacific Beauty College, and I was just going in there to browse around and see what was in there. Before I know it, that man had me signing on the dotted line. He said, see you tomorrow. I said, tomorrow? I was like, wait a minute. That wasn't supposed to happen. And so then I went home and gave my mom the school contract, and she said, and I said, I hope you happy. I go to beauty school now. She said, I hope you happy, and closed her door. I said, and I didn't know that she was actually pushing me into my destiny. You know what I'm saying? Like, who knew? And the whole time I was there for 9 months, the teacher kept asking me, why are you here? And I said, I'm here because my mother making me be here. She said, by the time you leave, I'm going to turn you into a hairstylist. I said, no, you're not. And sure enough, 6 months into the program, we did a 200-kid statewide hair competition. And I took first place. It was a two-day competition, and I came in there and whooped on everybody. All my mistakes, all my mess-ups. I kept going back to the teacher saying, you got to help me. You got to help me. She said, no, I'm not going to help you. Go back to your book. And I was like, what? And I was like, okay. But when they handed me that check and that trophy, and Ms. Cooper walked over to me and she said, didn't I tell you I was going to make you a hairstylist? And I said, you know what, Ms. Cooper, that ain't fair. That ain't fair, you know. So people see in you something that you don't even see in yourself. And that a lot of people are like, well, did you always know you were going to be a hairstylist? Of course not. You know what I mean? It's like, like I said, I was on the road to being a doctor or a lawyer. I wasn't thinking about being a hairstylist, let alone Prince's hairstylist. And so dating the bodyguard introduced me to the hairstylist, and I'm on set talking to her. And as I'm talking to her, and she said, I'm going to quit. And I said, you're not going to quit. She's like, yeah, I'm going to quit. And so my dad used to tell me all the time that success is when preparation meets opportunity. When the opportunity presents itself, will you be prepared? And sure enough, you know, I'm watching her table, being a hairstylist now. I'm looking, okay, she used that hairspray, I'm getting it. She used that gel, I'm buying that. So I'm never thinking that I would ever be, you know, to her caliber, but I'm like, at least let me be prepared, you know. And she was like, I'm going to quit. And I said, no, you're not. And my mother used to say, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You be careful what you speak. And sure enough, her and Prince went into the room one day, and he was talking crazy to her. And he's, you know, he's Prince, so he's used to talking crazy to you, and you're going to be there the next day. And she said, nah, my lips is chapped. I'm done. I said, she packed her stuff and left. And I kept telling her, you got the best job in the world. She's like, Kim, it's not what you think. And until I walked a mile in her shoes, I didn't realize that it really ain't what you think. Because, you know, nobody has just one job. Even though my license says cosmetology, I wore a lot of hats. You know, you're a lawyer, you're a sister, you're a friend, you're a doctor, you know what I mean? You're the trash man sometimes. He like, Kim, you see a piece of trash on the floor, pick it up. I'm like, that ain't my job. He like, yeah, it is your job. I'm like, so, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, and especially if you want to stay around him, you got to do what you got to do. So a lot of people, years, you know, of me going through stuff, people say, oh, if I was you, I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that. I said, yeah, but you're sitting at home on your mother's couch and I'm in Switzerland. So really, don't tell me what you won't do, okay? Don't tell me what you won't do.
True story.
I'm traveling around the world with one of the biggest artists in the world. Don't tell me what you won't do. So yeah, you have to have thick skin. You have to want to do this, you know what I mean? And I remember when I first left, walked up to him with my portfolio at the club one night, and I said, look, I know you don't have a hairstylist. I said, my name is Kim Berry, I do hair. And he looking at me like, how did you even get to my table? And I said, and so the bodyguard, because I was in with the bodyguard, so the bodyguard let me by. And so he said, well, you got a salon? I said, yeah. He said, go set it up. So I go set the salon up. I already knew how to black out the windows and do everything. I was studying her the whole time.
I was ready for your moment.
Absolutely. And so got the salon ready, and he called. He said, Kim, this is Prince. And I was like, and he said, I'm not going to be able to make it. I said, let the wind out. And he said, well, don't worry about it. Next time you come to L.A., just know you got a hairstylist. You know, mind you, I'm only 18 years old. And I said, well, do you travel? And I said, yeah. Now, I ain't never been out of Inglewood, let alone California. And I said, okay, well, the flight leaves in an hour. We're sending a car to come pick you up. I said, now talk about putting money where your mouth is. I said, he said, is there a problem? No problem. And I hung up. I called my mother. I said, Mama, I just talked to Prince. She said, stop lying. I said, no, I just talked to Prince. And I said, he said, the flight leaves in an hour. She said, girl, grab your curling irons and your hairspray. And I said, and literally I went to LAX with curling irons and hairspray, no clothes.
No clothes, nothing.
Got on a plane, not a coat, not nothing. When the plane landed, it was snow everywhere. It was my first time seeing snow. I was like, oh my God, it was Christmas lights and snow. I was like, wow. When they pulled up to Paisley Park, I was like, oh, it does exist, because I had only heard about it in a song.
Okay.
So I didn't know it was real, so I was like, okay. They escort me upstairs to the hair salon, get up there. I do his brother's hair, and it's about four women that's there in the studio hanging out. I said, I get it, this is the audition, I get it. So you know, I'm laying them out head after head after head. His brother said, I'll be back. So in the salon, there's a wide area where you can this makeup room and all this kind of stuff. So I'm in there, and you can see the purple rain jacket, the raspberry beret outfit is in there. They got a bunch of jewelry laying around. And I said, one thing my mom told me when you're growing up, when you go in somebody else's house, you don't touch nothing don't belong to you. I sat right there for 2.5 hours with my hands in my lap. I said, they think I'm stupid. I know it's a camera in here on me. I said, but I was like, okay. And I sat right there and I didn't move. So then they said, his brother stuck his head in the door and said, you didn't steal nothing, did you? I said, look. I said, my mom ain't raised no fools. I said, second of all, I got to go to the bathroom. You play too much. He was like, oh, you ain't got to sit here, you know? So he said, you could have went to, I said, I'm not walking around this man's house. I said, no. He said, you could have went to the bathroom. I said, no, I'm not good. So then he said, okay, give me 10 more minutes. I said, no. I said, don't you leave me sitting here for another 2 hours. He's like, I'm not going to do that. So he, about 10 minutes later, sure enough, Prince stuck his head in the door. And he said, hello. And I looked and I'm like, oh, he's so small. I didn't realize, because on video, he's bigger than life.
Exactly.
So he stuck his head in the door. I was like, oh, he's a little bit man. And so I said, hello. He said, yeah, you got the job? He said, but you got to leave those nails at home. Because, that was SW.
Right, you
had them long, curved nails. And he said, got to leave those nails at home. He said, I'm tender-headed. You can't have that in my. I said, okay, click, 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 click. I just started breaking. He started laughing. He said, you funny. He said, that's going to work. He said, go back to the hotel. We're going to go to Miami in the morning. And I said, huh? No, I'm 18 years old. So I'm going, we're going to Miami in the morning. He said, yeah. He said, I'll see you in the morning. I said, okay. Go to the hotel. I get up in the morning. My mother sent me some money. I went to Target, got a duffel bag, threw some clothes in it. I was like, okay, what's happening right now? Sure enough, we go to Miami. We stay a few days. We leave there. And I never seen him. All he did was call me, Kim. We going to the next city. Hang up. Kim, you good? Yeah, order what you want. We going to the next city. Atlanta, Chicago, we travel. Finally, I called my mother. I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, who lives like this? My mother said, you do. And that's when my reality shifted, like, oh, you're a celebrity hairstylist now. I said, wait a minute. It was just amazing. And I get to New York. We set up his his hair salon. His brother said, don't touch his ears, don't look him in the face, don't put color on him, don't waste water on him, don't. I said, look here, there's too many rules. I can't work like that. And so everything seemed like they told me not to do on the first appointment, I did. And Prince took it all in stride. He laughed, you know, and I was like, Kim, just relax. You got this. You good. You got this. And so we hooked him up, color, perm, cut, everything. I said, Kim, this is what you do. You got this. I said, just another client. Don't worry about it. He got up, looked in the mirror. He was like, cool. He said, thank you very much. He said, your car is waiting for you downstairs. And it just turned around on them little bitty heels and he disappeared. I got the job or what? What just happened? I looked outside. The limo driver was waiting for me outside the window. He waving at me like, whenever you're ready. And I said, a limo waiting on Kim Berry. Okay.
You have arrived.
Yeah, I have arrived. You have arrived. Yes. And basically the rest was history. Wow. Traveling with him for 29 years.
Okay, well, we know in the course of those 29 years, Prince has had some iconic hairstyles.
Absolutely.
As we just saw in the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Were those always his ideas, your ideas? Were there ever any hairstyles that you said, no, we absolutely are not going to do that?
Oh, no.
And he said, okay.
No, everything was a collaboration, so thank goodness for that. He was pretty easy. He was open. You know, he was easy to talk to. Like I was telling people about this one gorilla coat he had that had fur that just stuck out like this, and he was like, I want little ponytail, can make my hair look like this coat. And I said, oh no.
I know that.
So we had to put all these little ponytails all over his head so his hair and his coat could be. I said, my friends was calling when that picture hit the wave, and people were like, Kim, what's going on down there? And I was like, you gotta give the people what they want, you hear me?
Exactly. And yes. I was a fan of that hair. Just like I was also a fan of the braids.
Oh yeah,
during the
I call it the buckwheat braids.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So everybody knows that. I said I like it.
Oh yeah, we did that, and he was like, I want some braids, and I was like, oh okay, good. I'm gonna part it off, and make it real neat. He said, no, just braid it. And I was like, oh, you're not gonna do me like that. He said, Kim, just braid it. And I was like, and it wound up being one of his most iconic looks. Everybody, we would come outside to the concert, and all the women in the front rows would have the, I was telling them people, don't encourage him. Don't stop wearing the hairstyle. So then he told me, run upstairs and get me some ribbons and put on my hair. So I had to go run upstairs to wardrobe. I'm like, he wants ribbons to match the outfit he got. And they were like, what? So it was just crazy. So every outfit after that, he had to have matching ribbons to go on every outfit. I said, you're going to wear this for a while? I was like, oh my God. So yeah, but he loved those braids. He did. I was like, oh no.
we love the braids,
right.
so it's okay.
Yes.
We love the braids.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard you talk a little bit in a previous interview, too, about the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And
that was my favorite.
Right. Just tell our readers a little bit more about that. Like, did panic strike when you saw that the rain was falling after
yes.
you had done this beautiful, beautiful hairdo?
Absolutely.
And then at what point... I guess, did he just say, I'm going out here in the rain with this durag?
Yeah, no, he literally didn't want to go. Hold on. He literally didn't want to go to the outside in the rain because it had been clear all day.
Okay.
And so then, all of a sudden, right before it was time for him to go outside, it started pouring down, raining. And so then, he was like, Kim, they're not going to make me go outside in the rain, are they? I said, bruh, this is life. I said, yes, we going outside in the rain. He said, oh no, oh no. So we panicking. So he's telling me, let me go find a scarf. I knew where the scarves were. I was tucking and hiding them. I was like, no, this hair is beautiful. No. I was like, what is going on? He was like, Kim, get me a hat. And I was like, okay. So I ran outside, you know, going to his limo to find a hat. By this time, they got him on the cart, taking him over to the thing. He comes out underneath that elevator. When he came out, I said, no, he had a do-rag on. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? And it was just hilarious. But when he did that show and everybody was like, oh my God, like, was there an umbrella over the stage? And I said, no. I said, this is the coolest man in the world. I said,
epic.
Only man who can dance underwater and not get wet, baby.
It was epic. They're just the tunes, Shelby, everybody, the fact that they went out there and killed
it. and pouring down rain.
Yeah, the way that
but baby, that was magic. That was music magic. It was amazing. And they acted like wasn't a drop on them. And they did that show. And then when he reached up and took that do-rag and threw it into the audience, I was like, that's show business, baby. I said, that's how you do it. When he came off stage, he said, how'd I do? I said, oh, you know you killed it. You know,
right? There's a reason why that's yes. considered the number one.
Absolutely, yes.
So you had experiences like that, even the first time meeting him. Looking back, is that what prompted you to write the book, because you did have such a long and interesting journey
Absolutely.
With Prince and his camp? Were you solely Prince's hairstylist?
I was,
did you work for others in the camp? Like
yeah, no, I did everybody.
Dancing?
Everybody,
okay, did
all
everybody.
His. The women that came through his lives, yeah. I worked on all of them as well as every band member. And, you know,
okay.
At one point we had almost like 11 women on tour with us. So the backup singers, the anybody who was there, vocalists, the guitar players, everybody, Candy Dulfer, Rhonda Smith, Cat Dyson, everybody I had to do. So I would be running from one end of the arena to the other, getting the whole band ready. I had to go in the room with the clippers and cut the brother's hair, you know. So Michael Bland back in the day, Tommy Barbarella, everybody had you know, and then he would get mad at me sometimes because I would be so busy attending to them. I would be late getting to him, and he'd be like, really? Whose show is this? And I'm like, you told me get everybody ready. Like, you know, so yeah, it would be very stressful sometimes. It would, at some point, he allowed me to have an assistant, but the accountants would always come back and cut the crew short, so it would just be me running back and forth through that arena. So, but you know, I just learned how to do it. I called it bobbing and weaving. I learned how to bob and weave.
That means you have magic hands.
Absolutely.
That you made that happen.
Absolutely.
And so, well, apparently you have a lot then that you can write about.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm so looking forward
and
to,
that's what, yeah.
to and reading, and that's just basically what prompted you just to
do the book.
Story.
And that's what I said. I'm not going to talk about the rock star Prince. In my book, I want to tell about the loving man, the philanthropist, the dad, the brother, the son. You know, we're going to talk about that Prince, you know. As he grew, I grew. Because, like I said, most people don't stay on a job 30 years, let alone be in a relationship or anything else. And people are like, were you in love with him? No. Were you a fan? No. And I believe that that's what allowed me to stay around him for so long. But I knew that it was the God in me that saw the God in him that would made me stay there for so much longer, that I cared about him, that I took care of him. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't gonna cry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Thank you.
It's okay. I teared up yesterday during Sheila's performance.
I heard it was awesome.
When Sheila was
they said she killed it.
Right, and just when she had the crowd hug each other. So it's hard. I understand. And I can't imagine what it's like with people like you, you know, that have history, as opposed to, you know, being someone on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Is there anything that, since you decided to write the book, are there any things that you've been apprehensive about putting in the book?
Nope, because I just know that I'm gonna just tell the loving story,
okay.
So I don't have time for anything else.
Okay.
Whatever else is out in the universe, gotta deal with it. And so I'm gonna tell the parts that, you know, the joking, the pranks, the fun stuff, you know what I'm saying, that people don't know nothing about, that unless you were there, you would never know that Prince was that type of person, you know what I'm saying, the fun, easygoing, loving gentleman, you know what I'm saying. So that's the Prince. People can tell me all day about the rock star, so I don't need to tell that story. So, but I'm going to tell the story about the man, the living legend, you know.
And so the private Prince
yes.
is just way different than what the public
right.
saw.
Right, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I see that you own 2 salons.
Mm-hmm.
So how were you able to maintain being a businesswoman on your own
right.
and balance it with a tour, with a rock star and being on call and in and out?
Right. He was always asking everybody around him, what can I do to empower you? What can I do to take you to the next level? And so being a hairstylist, of course, the hair salon was the next level. So he was like, let's get a salon open. So he and I, you know, went through the motions. We had traveled all over the world, seen some of the most beautiful salons. And when I opened the doors of my salon, he said, Kim, he said, you know, we've been a lot of places. We've done a lot of things, right? Yeah. He said, this is the most beautiful salon I've ever seen. And to get the nod from the man himself, that was major. And I put it in the middle of the neighborhood in Los Angeles, California. And because I wanted to bring the beauty to the hood and stuff that they had never seen before, you know. And it was a great experience. I had a great team of people because you can't do nothing by yourself. So you got to have a great team of people to have your back, sure, to make sure that even in your absence that it can still run. That's one thing that I learned about him, that, you know what I'm saying? So now how we're doing it now, even in his absence, we're still making it run. But Shelby J has a great hashtag. It says, hashtag what Prince taught us. Well, so we all doing now what Prince taught us. So some people, you're hearing we shouldn't be doing this and we shouldn't be doing that. You get the negative naysayers, but Prince wouldn't have wanted anyone to stay stagnant and not do what we were supposed to do. He taught us how to grind, and now we all grind it. You know what I'm saying? So we got to keep moving. We got to keep doing and make sure that his legacy stays alive. So I'm excited to be a part of the PRN Alumni Foundation, which is making sure that his legacy continues to go forward, keeping kids motivated with music and coding. And he took care of homeless shelters. And Prince, he was so much bigger than what no one knew about. And so that's what I'm looking forward to telling the people about, who he was, that man that nobody knew about. He moved in silence, but he got things done. But it took a team of people to get it done for him. And I was glad to be a part of that team, be a part of that journey.
That's just great to hear. But does it ever get tough sometimes when you hear the background noise from the, and I call it the onlookers, because they obviously haven't been in the circle. They're not
absolutely
there. They're just the onlookers. Like, does that get hard to hear when stuff that comes back from the fans?
Oh, yeah. And even with him, he used to tell you, say he wouldn't look at the negative press, but at one point he went looking for it just to see what he could do to make himself better. So he would go looking for the negatives. He'd be like, let's see what they're talking about today. You know what I'm saying? To the point that he literally became so interactive with the fans online. And but he was critiquing them as they were critiquing him, and it was making him a better artist. So it works, you know what I'm saying? So they say pressure make diamonds. So yeah, it works for me. So yeah, I'm going to let them keep talking, because while they keep talking, I'm going to keep shining. So it's all good.
Right. Well, do you have an expected release date for the book that we can look forward to? You still putting your finishing touches on it?
Yeah, I'm putting finishing touches on it. I hope by the first of the year.
Okay.
So yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And are you self-publishing or?
We're working on that. It's the deal is coming through.
Okay.
So in the meantime, so the book, it'll be called Diamonds and Curls.
Love the title.
And yes. So we're looking forward to that. Also working on a hair care line. As we went through the years, Prince would always see me mixing this and mixing that and putting this together. He was like, we need to do our own line. He said, because what I would wind up putting on his hair, it, you know, like I said, it worked for him. And he was like, we got to figure out how to make this work for everybody else. So we're going to do a line. So that everything he was about was taking it to the next level. What can I do to help you get to the next level? So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that we manifest this, that we bring it to fruition of everything, his thoughts about me and his dreams about me, and doing, we're going to get it, we're going to make it. And it's going to be a Prince inspired hair care line, and it's going to be beautiful, covering all spectrums, you know, fine, thick, medium hair, everything. So it's going to be beautiful. I'm looking forward to bring it to the masses. Also, we're also doing hair extension line.
Oh.
So yeah, so that's going to be really cool. So we had a party last night at the Chanhassen Rec Room, and some of the extensions were featured there. So yeah, so it's going to be really great, and we're looking forward to doing some great things. So I tell people, please be patient with me, because God is not through with me yet.
No, not at
yes.
all.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume that, you know, working with Prince in that capacity, did he confide in you? Like, do you feel like you
absolutely
reached a level where you were friends?
Yeah, I mean, 30 years spending with somebody. Okay. If somebody lay their head in your hands, you're gonna talk to them, and you're gonna, you know, release to them. So that's what I said. All of those stories will be in the book as well, too. You know, but yeah, you can't help but, you know, when you go to the hair salon and you're talking about your husband and your lawyer and your daddy, your baby daddy, and everybody else. You know, so of course, you know, if you're spending that much time with people, you're going to learn a lot about that person, that individual that's sitting in your chair. So, yes.
Okay. And I understand now you're touring with Cat Williams.
Yes.
And so you haven't slowed down then.
No.
You haven't stepped away from the going back and forth and
Absolutely not.
Around the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cat
so
is
you
so
love it,
much,
I take it.
I love it. That's what I said. And Cat is so much like Prince. Same work ethic, same drive, same. He's an amazing individual. The same thing I said, like how Prince was a boss in the pop world. Cat is a genius in the comedic world. But their work ethics, and he's a Prince fan too. And so that made it even more. So when Prince, you know, in his untimely demise left here, that's the first thing Cat said, let's go, you know. So I had been working for him for about 10 years on and off, but this was my first major tour rolling around the world with him. So okay. it's been incredible. We have had a great time.
Well, you certainly still have a lot on your plate.
Absolutely.
And I think that's impressive, like how you have incorporated your faith into what you do. And,
oh, man.
You know, and you building steadily off of that.
Absolutely.
You know, is that something that you've always been, you know, just...
Oh, yeah, instilled from birth.
Okay.
Yeah, mama didn't play that. You know, you're going to have you some Jesus if you don't do nothing else. You know what I'm saying? And that you have to be grounded in this industry because there's so many challenges and so many levels. And if you don't have faith and you don't have a prayer life, you're not going to make it. You got to be tough. You got to be strong as nails. That's one thing. Every client, I can literally say, I anointed their heads with oil as I work with them. It's a must, you know what I'm saying, that we pray together, that we do things together and grow together. And that was one of the beautiful things with Prince. We literally grew up together, you know what I mean? And I mean, he studied every religion in the world, very spiritual man, very grounded. And that's another thing people don't know about him. You know, they want to lock him in this box. You can't lock that kind of spirit in a box. He was so deep and he went in so many different directions. So you can't lock nothing like that. That force was to be reckoned with. And that force was God himself. So he knew God for himself. So, and I was, like I said, I was just glad to be around and to be a part and see it grow into this massive energy that it was. And it was just beautiful, and you couldn't help but be affected by it. You had to grow with him or you would get, you know, dismissed and by the wayside. So like I said, people are like, well, how did you stay around so long? Like, you had to be able to roll with him. You know what I'm saying? So that's why my book is 29 years rolling with rock royalty.
That's probably going to be a thick book.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you get done with that, that's going to be a thick book. You have a lot to say.
Yes.
Well, I will ask you one last question so you can get back to your day. What I've noticed is that band members, various associates, that you all just seem to be really close.
Yeah.
And that a closeness that came about because of tragedy, was that something always just you associates, just people you've seen pass through between 9 years, you've always essentially been like family, even if people left the camp?
Oh, yeah.
You know, left before, you've always been family, because I'm impressed by the closeness.
Yes. It's a must. It's a must. He would always say, you know, if it was something, they call me like the mama of the group. So I was always fixing stories and putting fires out and doing this and doing that. So it was a must that we had to be close because we knew, and then we had to keep him protected. So it was, we had to keep our circle tight, because he used to say, I don't have celebrity friends. He said, you guys are my friends. You guys are my family. So we had to make sure that we stay close to take care of him. You know what I mean? So even like I said, people who used to work for him, they'll see me and they'll be like, you still work for him? And I'm like, yeah. They like, wow. Because, you know, the time and the days would get so grueling. You know, you had to be up all night and then sleep during the day when you could, you know, and then on another bus and on another plane and on another train and on another. And so it was so grueling, but we had to take care of each other. It was, you know, so, and just learning how to do that with each other. And it would be band after band, tour after tour, where I would meet a whole new set of people. But everybody wound up being just as loving as the last people that we met, you know. And so it was just something that just kind of came with the territory. You know, we had to be family. Literally, we all became family.
Wow.
And so that's why I tell everybody, it was like hairstylist client when I first came on board, but we turned into family, everybody, you know. And the main thing was make sure we take care of Prince and get him to the stage. That was the main thing. get him to the stage.
Well, we thank you for it because
yes.
we were able to bear witness to decades of greatness.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we know that that was a well-oiled machine.
It
so
was.
We appreciate the behind-the-scenes people.
Yes.
And I don't know if we appreciate you all enough,
okay.
but we do.
Yes.
And just thank you so much for
thank
your
you
time.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah.